This is How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Look for updates at facebook.com/weekendpodcast. iTunes and other feeds coming soon. Hey, Wendy, how was your weekend?
Good. How was yours, Brian?
Not bad. This is the first episode of our podcast, How Was Your Weekend?
Oh, I'm so excited.
We've been talking about this for months.
Almost a year, I think.
No.
Not procrastinating at all on this, have we?
That's all I do. So this is a new podcast that we've been talking about for close to a year. We've been talking about doing a podcast for a while. It took a little while to sort of get an idea together. This was your idea.
It was, because I always had this weird little dream about, you know, being on radio, and you kind of are a talented guy, sir, and have dabbled, as I should say, in the podcast world. So,
and radio, since you mentioned radio.
And radio, see? So you've already lived a little bit of my what ifs, so let's try it. Why not?
First, tell folks about you.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm not that exciting of a person.
Yeah, you are.
But, let's see. I am a typical farm-grown, down-to-earth girl who has lots of friends, including Brian Kilby, from many walks of life, and have been fortunate to live in Colorado and Oklahoma and Florida, and have landed in North Carolina for 15 years, and enjoy all things that come with living in North Carolina, and animals and people. And that's all I got. I'm really not interesting, Brian. You know this.
No, you're super interesting.
maybe we'll learn more about that.
Yeah. So I am Brian Kilby, for the folks that don't know me. Did you give your name?
Wendy Kaysen.
So I have been doing radio and podcasting and stuff for going on 20 years. And I'm not even 40 yet, so that means I started this when I was a teenager.
I know. That's what's super impressive, because I've been on radio once.
Really?
You know what I was for?
What was it for?
I was doing a petting zoo for my FFA chapter in high school.
That is awesome.
In downtown Denver, Colorado, that is. And the radio station wanted me to bring a baby pig, do an interview about FFA, and make the pig squeal on radio.
How did you make it squeal?
I woke it up from its nap.
Aw.
It was pretty upset. But you know what? It worked out, and I surprised my mom, because somebody goes, your daughter's on the radio. So I guess I was on the radio once when I was like 16. That's a long time ago for those of listening.
Now you're sort of on the radio again.
I am a little bit. In the new age.
In the new age. Yeah. This is how radio works now.
Yeah, because 16 was in the 90s, just so you know.
Yeah, my first gig in radio was in the 90s too.
There we go.
Radio actually hasn't changed that much.
No, it's just on a different channel, should we say?
Well, yeah. I'll say this. Working in radio, you learn a lot of talking points about how radio isn't dying. And one thing that I constantly hear all the time is that more people listen to radio now than listen to radio 30 years ago.
Interesting.
I call BS.
Well, you know, that would be interesting, because I guess if you're in your car a lot, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you commute all the time.
If you're at the house and still have a radio by chance? I mean, I don't know.
I'm looking. I don't see a radio in here.
No, you don't have one. Well, there you go. So I have a question.
Okay.
How do we know each other, Brian?
So up until recently, you were my boss.
I know. How random is that?
I didn't know if we were going to go into that. So yes, you're... so you hired me about 3.5 years ago, and you took a big gamble on that.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, you really did.
We were both learning. It worked out well, though.
Hey, it worked out really well.
Considering now this is what I do for a living.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember when I interviewed with you, like, I could not read you at all.
Oh, I'm mysterious, as some people might say.
Like, we both were at the company for basically the same amount of time, but we came up in different organizations.
Correct.
And, yeah, we didn't really interact that much, but we knew a lot of the same people.
We did, and everybody spoke highly of you, so...
Oh, and vice versa.
See? So, it all works out. But, you know what I think is most interesting
what?
About... We used to work together. We've remained friends.
Mm-hmm.
But, the whole you starting to work with me... This is how we got the name of the podcast, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'll say this. So in a office environment, the most pedestrian question that you'll hear it every Monday is, how was your weekend? And a lot of people told me that they noticed that I never, ever, ever ask that question. And I don't. Not that I don't care, but I figured that if your weekend was bad, you'll let me know.
Well, and I, being the leader of the group, would try to circle around with all my team and ask them how their weekend was. And I noticed quickly with you when I asked, you said, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
And I went, it literally was less than 24 hours ago. How do you not remember how your weekend was? And you were like, two different worlds. I compartmentalize. What happened yesterday is yesterday. And now I'm on to work. And I thought, interesting concept. So because I didn't know you very well, I thought, either this dude's boring and has like the worst weekends ever, or he doesn't want to tell me. And I'm okay with that because maybe it's none my business. So
I never thought about people taking it that way. I just don't remember. I think the compartmentalized thing is me BSing.
It was total bullshit. Yep.
Because I have a crappy memory. I don't remember anything.
Well, either way, I thought it was an interesting little conversation that we had. And then as we brainstormed titles for the podcast, we just felt like that was one of the things where probably was a significant first time just debate conversation and sit down, get to know each other conversation we ever had when we first started working together. That was not about work.
Really?
Maybe. I think.
Maybe.
Or one that I remember. At least I remembered it really well. So maybe that's why I think that.
Maybe. I mean, I am pretty boring.
Oh, well, it takes two to, you know, takes one to know one. I'm pretty boring, too.
No, you're not. But so the idea was like, maybe we could expand our normal boring lives and do fun things on the weekend and talk about it, or maybe interesting things.
Or
and
whatever we find is an interesting conversation that comes up with our other friends or in the activities we do. And then just pick the topic and go with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about it. So the idea this week was getting over fears, and guess what? I got over a gigantic fear this past weekend.
So if I laugh at you, does that mean I'm a horrible person?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
no.
I can't promise that I won't.
So
what was your fear? And what? Well, at least you overcame it. So what was the fear?
So I can't say that it was specifically the first trip, but it was maybe the third in a while. Like a lot of people, I probably went, as a kid, early adulthood, I probably went 15 years without going to the doctor. And I mean, that was, I got over that years ago. But another thing I'd been afraid to go to forever, like almost entirely in adulthood, was going to the dentist.
A lot of people are scared of that.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where it's like, it feels, I don't know, I was kind of ashamed. I've had dental insurance for 15 years, but I haven't gone to the dentist like since I was a kid.
Yes, yeah, some people would be very angry that you have that benefit and you didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
But hey, to each their own.
But I knew that my wisdom teeth had to come out, so I sucked it up, and I went.
So, question. Your wisdom teeth finally hurting enough? Like, you've lived in pain since you were a teenager with these things, and now you finally have said take them out? Or, I mean, is it like they just started to bug you, or you're like, I'm ready to just take them out?
So, one was apparently pretty broken.
Oh, okay.
And it was pretty broken since I was about 24. And it started hurting worse.
Well, you know, that can lead to other things. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. So the dentist was really pleased with how, like, the overall condition of my mouth was.
Considering
the fact. Because I've taken care of everything except for that one tooth, which I think that it probably broke because I used to entertain people by chewing really hard things like jawbreakers and stuff.
Like, hey, guys, watch this.
Hey, I'm an idiot. Watch me. But it really started killing me the last couple of months. So I spoke to a friend of mine, and I'm like, this tooth is killing me. He's like, well, you need to go to the dentist. I'm like, do I have to?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. So I went to the dentist, and it was not that bad. It's actually one of the easiest things I've ever done.
Okay. So why was it a fear? Okay. We know people are scared of the dentist, but there are reasons why you're like terrified or frightened or afraid of what might happen in your brain. So what in your brain did you think was going to happen that made it so scary?
Well, actually, the thing I was afraid of did happen. I was afraid that they were going to pull a tooth. the fear of losing it, like, apparently one of the most common nightmares that people have, and it is for me, was losing teeth.
Like permanent teeth that they won't come back.
Yeah, like it's apparently the number one shared nightmare is people, like, a tooth coming out, getting knocked out or something.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Where did you find this information?
I read it on the internet.
I'm sure you did to convince yourself that you needed to go.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that like back in the day, like, you know, we live in a nice modern society, but 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000 years ago, if you lost teeth, that would really impact your quality of life.
Well, this is true. This is true. This is true. Because in my head, I just heard I might lose a tooth and I hear implant. You can get an implant now. Well, but you're right. If I'm a caveman or I'm a pirate or I'm old West and I don't have my teeth, life could be pretty sucky.
Yeah. So
wasn't yogurt really back then.
Exactly. So there are natural inborn fears that we have. Snakes.
Oh, that's mine.
Yeah, spiders.
Okay, yeah, so snakes. Let's just back up for 2 seconds. There are things that I am fearful of, but nothing that yet, knock on wood, I can say would, like, put me in nightmare mode or, like, freeze me. I have yet to experience that, thankfully. But snakes, that's just wrong. Something that doesn't have legs should not be able to move that fast. It's seriously that. Oh, I'm sure that's in, like, the top 10 fears.
Yeah.
Did you read that with your tooth loss thing?
No.
Woo. Don't like them.
I got a story in a minute, but
I'm the one who thinks if you run them over, like, if you don't try to avoid them, they're going to wrap up in your wheel well and climb up in your, like,
vent. I think that too.
Dude, it's complete bullshit. But why? I'm like, God, I hate snakes.
But the tooth thing. So, like, yeah, my wisdom teeth had to come out. And I went, and they're like, yeah, they need to come out. And they only took out the top set because I need to go to an oral surgeon to have the bottom set taken out.
Oh, see, I had mine taken out, all of them, by an oral surgeon.
So. Yeah, no, the top one were just easy removals for the dentist. But I was just, like, really impressed with how easy it was. Like, the one tooth that was broken, they had to, like, dig it out, which wasn't fun.
No.
But the other, like, it was just a matter of sticking the thing in and pulling. Like, I didn't even realize it was gone. But the first one, I could feel that. I could totally feel that.
See, this is why I would have just went, sign me up for the oral surgeon, because the best thing that I've ever done, get my wisdom teeth out. Man, they put me out, not, like, under crazy surgery, but they just put you out enough, like, it's a good nap. And I was like, what happened? And I woke up and I was like, this is the best feeling in the world. And I didn't even know they had dug around and ripped 4 teeth out.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. You should have just went to the oral surgeon, buddy.
I should have.
All 4.
But, like, I'm going to require a little more work. I've got a couple cavities that need to be filled and one root canal and a crown.
Okay, but now you've done it. The worst part. Those I can't even... What you just went through is way worse than any of those, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, apparently a root canal is not that big of a deal.
And... science has come so far. Like, you're good now, right?
I'm good, yeah.
No more fear?
No more fear. I'm over it.
High five.
Yeah, I know. So, like, it was one of those things that's like, it's probably not socially acceptable for me to drool all over myself when I'm, you know, from pain medication. Which, when that broke that tooth, that happened at the office.
What?
I probably damaged my liver, but I popped 8 Aleve once.
Oh God,
it hurt so bad.
But this just goes along with all the other stories of random crazy things I've heard you do.
Yes.
So drooling upon yourself and, you know, socially acceptable. Or it depends, I guess. It's you know, there's reasons it happens, but yeah, to the point where you just don't want to have a tooth removed. Maybe that's a little excessive. But hey, you know, we all have our limits. Now. There is the whole factor of when you get your wisdom teeth removed and the pack, and then you, like, are on great drugs and you fall asleep. And
I didn't get great drugs. I got ibuprofen.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm telling you, the oral surgeon part sent me home. I woke up the aftermath from the gauze because I fell asleep was a little bit disturbing.
I woke up with blood on my pillow.
Yep. That was me too. I scared the heck out of my college roommate because she was waking me up and I turned around and I had blood all over. It's because my gauze had gotten too much and it was time to change it, and she screamed. It was like, I must have looked like the it or something. I don't know. It was pretty disgusting.
So I do I do a lot of podcasts, and I do one thing. I'm from Wilkes County, North Carolina, which is I think a lot of people think their hometown is hell, but I think that Wilkes County is a pretty good candidate for hell, basically. But I do a podcast that the general idea is I never left, and I'm still the person that I would have been had I not developed a little bit. So I did a video of that actually right immediately after the dentist had removed the teeth, and I had the gauze in my mouth. It was pretty funny.
I saw a portion of that. That, my friend, was pretty entertaining. And I will tell you, when I was on my meds still driving home, my college roommate said I felt the need to sing like I was Barbara Streisand or something. And she said it was very comical for her for 45-minute drive, but pretty annoying as well. But, you know, that gauze in your mouth and a little bit of pain meds make you invincible, I'm telling you.
I don't doubt it. So, tell me about snakes. What is it about snakes that you hate so much?
Oh, again, I mean, something with no legs that can move that fast. And they just always just sneak up, right? It's not like they're just like, hey, I'm a snake. I'm going to come visit. Howdy, howdy. You know, no, it's like all of a sudden you step and there's a coiled up little thing with forked tongue. And then either it's coiled up and ready to strike and be mad at you, or it slithers off so quick, and it's just like watching it slither just gives me the heebies.
Have you ever like been bitten by a snake or anything?
No.
Did you have one in your house?
So here's a little background, interesting information for people. So when I was in college at Oklahoma State University, go Pokes, I ran a hog farm, and the lovely lady who I worked for, we had this barn where the mamas gave birth to the baby's farrowing house, and in Oklahoma, there's copperheads, right?
Yeah.
So her husband would leave a note because snakes are snakes and you don't really want to be around, and you definitely don't want to get bit. But the way that things were situated, the snakes would coil up in front of the feeders where I would have to feed the mama pigs, right? And so he would leave a note if he couldn't kill the snakes, hey, Wendy, watch out when you're feeding because there's a snake, right? So I would like get on my belly and look under these crates and see if the snake's anywhere where I needed to be, and then figure out a way to move it. Or there'd be times where I was like cleaning out waters and feeders in these heavy black rubber tubs. And you know, snakes, they're cold-blooded, so they like to be warm. So in the sun, those black tubs would get really, really hot underneath, and they'd like slither underneath when they were turned over and warm themselves. And I'd go to grab one to water or whatever, and there'd just be this big freaking snake. And they wouldn't strike, but it was just like, really? You know? And a couple would try, but I never got bit. And I can easily say, I'm sorry for those who don't like it, but I would kill them if I had to.
I've had to kill a snake.
Oh, but it's just, they're just slithery, and they kind of come out of nowhere, and I remember picking watermelon when I was little, and my friend's little sister was going to get a watermelon, and there was a baby rattler. Oh my God. We were like, don't touch the, because it was just a baby, but it looked so mean and evil. I don't know. And I don't know if it, like, you know, deep rooted things about the serpent in the garden. I don't know, but I just, snakes are just disgusting and creepy, and they can kill you in like a second with their little nasty venom. It's just all creepy.
I'd argue it probably has something to do with like our ancient ancestors wanting to avoid being eaten.
I think so. It's probably deep rooted. Like, it probably is deep in my ancestry that my fear of snakes. I mean, nothing bad has ever happened to me that I've been bitten, but or been chased, like boys or anybody chasing me with a snake thinking they were being cute or funny. I just hate them.
So I don't like snakes, but you know, one of the things I guess about being a boy growing up is that boys would catch things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So my brothers, I never really had the opportunity, but I remember my brothers catching snakes like in glass jars and stuff, and just thinking it's the funniest thing. But I did that. I told you about catching a snake in the office, didn't I?
Yeah, I kind of vaguely remember this, but refresh my memory, because hello, you caught one? Good for you. I'm not sure. I would have just opened a door and hope it slithered out.
Well, it was far away from the door. So the carpet on the floor was green and gold, and the pattern was very conducive to a snake blending in.
Mm.
We were on the ground floor, and I was with a coworker, and we were just walking down the hall, and she said, "Oh my God, a snake." And I looked, and I didn't see a snake. I thought, you're crazy. But I looked really close. I got down, and yeah, sure enough, there was a baby, maybe a stretch, but it was an immature snake. It wasn't a gigantic copperhead. It was probably about 2 feet long.
See, that's the other part. They blend in. I swear, like, they know where they need to go. And I get it's all, like, nature and wildlife and kudos. That's part of their survival. But I swear to God, it could be a bright orange wall and somehow a snake is going to blend in.
Yeah.
Just to be creepy.
I mean, I saw one in here earlier.
Ah, not funny.
So, we knew to call facilities, but I also knew that it would probably take a while for somebody to get there.
Uh-huh.
So, I was drinking a 32-ounce bottle, not bottle, 32-ounce cup of Diet Dr. Pepper. So, I downed that real quick. And I grabbed a piece of cardboard that was at the recycling bin, and I quickly took the cup and just plopped it down on the snake that was coiled up, and I put the cardboard underneath it. I picked it up slowly and walked it out the door and just dropped it off outside.
I could have probably mustered up. I could have mustered up and done that, but ugh, they're creepy. They're creepy. And it's probably, again, I bet it's top 10 common fears.
Absolutely. A friend of mine just found out that he had a snake in his house.
Ugh.
They did not spend the next 3 or 4 nights there.
Yeah. What do you do? Like, they saw it and then it was gone, and then how do you trap it?
So they hoped
exterminator.
They called an exterminator. Exterminator couldn't find it, so he figured that somehow the snake got out.
Where did they see it?
In a spare bedroom, I think.
Oh, so how do they think it got in?
Through apparently a common way is like through a dryer vent.
Yes, I've heard that. Black snakes here.
Yeah. Mm. So this was like a rat snake or something. And apparently when they're nervous, they jitter their tail like a
rattler
does.
Oh.
And apparently it was jittering up against something that made it sound like it was rattling. So they thought it was a rattlesnake.
Oh, God. Okay. That's creepy.
Yeah. Snakes bug me. Snakes bug me a little bit.
But spiders.
Spiders are much
Tell
worse.
Me about, I mean, I have a roommate from college. God love her. I vividly remember our sophomore year. She was taking a bath and I just heard blood curdling screams, and I thought she'd fallen and broken something or whatever. And I go in the bathroom because I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to have to help her. And she is like, in the corner of the tub, crying, shaking, and there's a tiny little spider on the opposite corner of the tub, and she was like just hysterical, and I was like, oh God, really? And they're creepy, but I'm like, just kill it. Again, sorry for those that want to let it free, but hey, I was like, that's a legitimate fear. She was out of her mind scared. Like, are you that scared?
Not of a small spider, but if it was a big spider, like a wolf spider or larger, I would freak out.
Yeah, I mean, I get they're like dangerous, but I don't. Well, wolf spiders jump.
That scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, I don't like jumpy spiders. I didn't have to deal with brown recluse and wolf spiders in Colorado.
No, but God. You have to worry about those here.
I know, and in Oklahoma we had to too.
And since I've moved, I moved down here to Mooresville about almost a year ago.
I know,
and. Yay. The bugs are way worse here.
Really?
Oh my God, much worse.
I guess I didn't spend enough like evenings or long days in Wilkes outside of the office when I commuted there to notice.
Yeah, especially spiders and mosquitoes.
Which is interesting because I would have thought Wilkes had more wooded areas, like where spiders wanted to live.
Well, yeah, I've seen way more spiders since moving here.
So, okay, I can't really think of, I mean, I know there's other things like you're kind of fearful of, right? But I'm trying to think of even like my friends, like some things that they said they're really afraid of that are maybe just things I didn't even consider being afraid of or fearful of, or like that they are just, it's like the most weird thing I've ever. Do you have a friend that they've talked about one of their fears and you're like, oh God, I've never even thought about being scared about that?
So for me and you, this is probably something that will be interesting for you since you're my boss for a while. Most people are afraid of public speaking. I am not afraid of public speaking. I am afraid of public speaking when I have to read or over prep.
Yeah, because you want to go off the cuff.
I want to go off the cuff.
Like, I get, I don't know that I'm fearful. I just get anxious because I don't want it to be boring. It's not even about having to present. I think it's just like, I don't want to be that guy that stood up there and everybody's like, wah, wah, wah. Like, I don't want to be Charlie Brown's teacher.
like, I've done a lot of things like speaking and presenting and doing panels and stuff, and I do it all off the cuff, and I think I do a good job with it. Mm-hmm. But like, we were in a meeting late last year where I just did a terrible job presenting, but I over-prepared.
Yep.
I totally over-prepared for that. It was a big, important meeting, and I bombed it.
Well, I think, yeah, I think that's one big thing, is I think that's a common fear for a lot of people. And again, I think it depends. It's not that it's like I want to run out every day and do it, but I know.
I basically do, if you count this.
Well, yeah, that's true. I think, but I have former coworkers and coworkers of yours now, or friends who it is terrifying for them. Like, I remember coaching them through stuff and watching them like agonize, and you wouldn't even know it when they were doing it. But yeah, there's a lot of people that do that. I'm a heavy mix of prep to a degree and then kind of go off the cuff in the moment. I can't just go purely off the cuff. But I guess it depends on the topic and what you're trying to put across. But I know some, you know what, lots of performers and public speakers that do it for a living still say it's one of, you know, anxious. Makes them anxious, makes them frightened a little bit. But I guess they also say that you need to be really good at it.
Yeah. About a month ago, I had to present, and I did really well until I started trying to read, because I was running out of time. So I wrote down what I needed to say.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, when it just went to crap.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Everybody has their prep, right?
My best prep is no prep.
Yeah. You're like, you don't even do like the bullet points you need to make sure you hit. Or you just like,
I prefer not.
Oh. See, this is why you're good at radio.
Yeah, I mean, that's my problem. Is like my first two jobs basically were talking, and they were having to talk off the cuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the reason I'm not a good presenter at work.
Well, it's not that you're not a good presenter. I mean, I think it takes all kinds, and part of it's the audience.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what else am I fearful of? Well, just because we were kind of talking about it, it's not a fear. Like, it's not like this earth-shattering fear, but right, like some people would find losing their job or the thing that gives them security fearful.
So we didn't explicitly say that. So
part of why me and Brian don't work together anymore is because I was downsized.
I'll be honest with you, that caused a lot of stress. I mean, leading up to it, because we knew it was coming.
Yes.
But not specifically the who.
Yep.
That was a huge stressor in the lives of a lot of people.
I think so. I think it's, again, you know, fear, if you look up the definitions of fear and afraid and scared, and they're all synonyms, like all those things are intertwined. And so I think as a leader, right, it wasn't just about me considering all the things leading up, what if for me, but what if it for my people that I led and their security and their way of life. And I think for a lot of people, especially when you work really hard, that, you know, anything that jeopardizes your security of any kind is a big fear for a lot of people. And, you know, fortunate for me, I'm not fearful of what happened to me, that this is going to be like this big devastating thing. I'm keeping optimistic about it, but it's uncertain. And so that causes uneasiness. But I think for other people, it was extremely like a fear driving thing. And for some that were impacted, it was probably their worst nightmare. And for others, it wasn't. But, you know, I feel like, to your point, everything leading up to it created an unnecessary fear in a lot of people, which then led to lack of motivation and all those other kinds of things. But security, however you define it, right? If it's your job, if it's our nation and anything that's going on with it.
What? Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, there's not anything internationally going on right now.
And nothing.
We don't get into those things. But, you know, I have my aunts and uncles and things who are older, and, you know, when they sit and they listen to the news, and they've been through generations of things too, like that creates a different fear for them because of where they're at in their lives. And they have children and grandchildren, yada, yada, yada. So
you remember, speaking of that, do you remember the tornado drills that we used to do as kids?
Yes.
That were really just bomb drills.
They kind of have the same concept, right?
Yeah. Like, we would have them here.
Yes.
But I think Wilkes County, which is where I'm from, had one tornado in like 50 years.
Yes.
So those were totally bomb drills.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, they, and the same goes. It's just cover yourself and make sure you don't get hit with flying debris,
yeah,
right? Whether it be a hurricane, a tornado, a bomb, a whatever, they're going to tell you to do this. I don't know. What are hurricane drills? I've never been through one. Hello, I'm from Eastern Colorado. Yeah. Like, we know tornadoes. We don't know hurricanes.
Hurricane drills is you just get out.
Get out. Evacuate. Get away from the water.
Get away from the water. But the thing is, like, now that stuff doesn't happen, those drills, because it's not no longer the Cold War. And now there are a lot of people, like I noticed people on Twitter, especially people younger than we are, mm-hmm, who are just freaking out about the existential threat that exists.
So bomb shelters and all,
yeah,
that
stuff like that.
Which, in Oklahoma, right, you have tornado shelters. Well, those people are pretty set for that kind of stuff. But speaking of hurricanes, one of my fears, don't want to drown.
I can't swim.
Drowning is not, and those are legitimate because I had two episodes growing up where I almost did. Not to the point where I needed like medical assistance or emergency, any of that kind of stuff, but enough that made me go, I really don't want to die this way.
Yeah, so I guess similar for me, I remember jumping in the pool, thinking I could swim, learning that I couldn't, and spending what seemed like eternity underwater. I eventually just stood up, but... But at the time, you know, in the 8-year-old me, that left a huge impression.
Yes.
And now to this day, whenever I get underwater like that, I panic.
My thing was two situations. One, I was at a water park with my brother and older brother and cousin, and we had been playing all day and doing all this, and I probably went on a slide I shouldn't have gone on. And it was one of those that was like the tube and all the water shoots up in your face as you're going down it, right? So I probably didn't, in my mind, prepare that I was about to just basically be shot into through a tube of water being flushed in my face. And then you fall out the other end into a deep pool. And I was probably, I might have been 8 or something. But I was so disoriented from what was going on the slide that when I dropped in the water, I kind of was just like, what's happening? And I probably freaked out a little bit.
Yeah.
And then my brother had gone out just before me. So then he was trying to help me, but I didn't think he was trying to help me. So then I was kind of taking him under because I was freaking out. It was just a mess. And he was mad at me. And the lifeguard jumped in. But we had gotten to the side at that point. But oh, my poor brother was so embarrassed. But I was freaking out. And then before that, it may have happened before that. Or I can't remember, but it would have been elementary school. You know, everybody does swimming lessons.
I didn't.
At least we did.
I didn't.
We had swimming lessons, and I was so proud I had made it because I was not a strong swimmer, nor am I still, but I had made it to the sharks, right? We had like the rocks, the fish, and the sharks, and the sharks were like the really good swimmers.
Oh, like the sharks and the jets?
Yeah. No. Well, that would have been cool, but we didn't do any synchronized swimming events or anything like that, you know, to cool show tunes. But anyway, you had to swim the full length of the pool and back, right, to make it into the sharks.
I still can't do that.
I don't know if I still could, but I did then. And then I was so excited. I was with some of my friends and I just kept swimming and swimming and swimming. And then we were jumping off the diving board and all this other stuff. And I was feeling pretty badass. And then I had got about halfway through the distance of the pool and it's still deep and I just gave out. I was tired and I couldn't stay afloat and I was freaking out, and not to the point where I caused a lot of stir, but one of the girls in my class, thank God for her, Emily, she just came and just helped me to the side of the pool. But I remember feeling like, oh my gosh, I can't swim. I'm just tired. And I would kind of, you know, float under and come back up. Ugh, that was horrible. So yeah, drowning, definitely in my top three.
Yeah, both my wife Kim and her father, my father-in-law, have tried to teach me how to swim, and I'm certain he thinks I'm the world's biggest loser because I can't swim. That's pretty bad.
Well, some people just can't.
I don't have much else in the way of fears, realistically. Occasionally when I think about it, like dying may be something I'm afraid of, but I'm not so much afraid of the end result. It's mostly the act of it. And honestly, it's one of those things that once it's done, it's over. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm like you. I'm fearful of what? Like, I don't want it to be this long, agonizing thing. Like, nobody wants that, right? So, it's not that it itself is what I'm fearful of. It's just, yeah, the act of it. What's it going to be?
Well, for me, it's mostly, it's not like, you know, getting sick and suffering. It's more like, if I am literally dying right now, realizing that I'm dying, and then my brain going through the process of dying, and like that shutting down process that the brain does,
yeah,
and being conscious for that, that thought scares me.
It just sounds miserable.
Yeah.
It does not sound appealing at all.
But if, you know, if I can't distinguish that between just falling asleep, that might be okay. But I have a feeling it's probably not the same thing.
I think it's a common thing, though. I mean, nobody wants to die. Definitely. That's not something I
some people do.
About. Some, well,
but not us.
That's true. Live and let live. So
live and let die, though.
Live and let die. Well, there, you know, that's a good
song. It's not my favorite James Bond movie, but
oh well, there it's a movie too. I'm trying to think. Yeah, no, dying. That's definitely, we're probably hitting all the normal ones.
Oh yeah, clowns.
I'm not scared of clowns. Now, do I think they're creepy and just odd? Yeah, a little bit, but I'm not fearful of them. I'll take a clown out if I need to.
Yeah, I'm a little bit afraid of clowns.
You really like happy, sad, evil, any kind of clown.
Any clown.
Friendly clown.
Yeah, it's funny enough though. I hear that clown gig actually pays really well.
No,
I heard that a clown is an easy 6-figure job.
Okay, So when's the last time you actually saw? Well, they have school for it, so I guess there's.
It's a college. Thank you very much.
Well,
clown college.
Well, maybe that should be my new career.
You'd be good at that. I can see you as a clown.
No, I'm sure because I am a clown, just not in makeup. No, I mean clowns are good. I guess that's. I don't know. But people freak out. I think Stephen King had a little bit to do with that.
Yeah.
You know? I have a cousin. What's the famous clown? Oh, God.
Bozo?
No, he was
I know somebody that was on Bozo's TV show.
No.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Okay, they're like a celebrity, so what are they doing now?
They work at our old employer.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm trying to think. I can't think of the name of the clowns, but they were collectible. And she...
Ronald McDonald?
No, it was like this hobo clown. He was
Red
like,
Skelton?
No. It was like an artist thing. It wasn't like TV show or commercials. It was like an artist. Oh. And he was not scary, but I remember her having all those collectible dolls, and so maybe that didn't make me so afraid of clowns some more. He was more of a sad clown, though, so couldn't really be scared of him. You kind of felt bad for the guy.
Yeah.
He was a hobo clown.
Hobo clown.
Yeah.
If I saw a hobo clown on the side of the road, I would just keep on going.
Well, I have a pickup, so I'd probably let him ride in the back.
You're way nicer than I am.
Depends on where he needed to go.
So it sounds like we had a pretty eventful weekend.
Well, we did. I mean, you're recovered, right?
I'm recovered.
You lived through your fear.
I am now totally free of worrying about dry socket. I can suck through a straw to my heart's content.
High five. Like, that's amazing. Well, I think it would be interesting for people like to tell us what are some very random fearful things that we didn't even think about, but isn't that amazing how your entire weekend, that was a thought process? One little activity of overcoming a fear had created a whole conversation about, hey, what are you fearful of?
So I kind of want to tell the people what I'm doing this coming weekend. Maybe I'll give a tease.
Okay, yeah. What do you plan on doing? Because does your weekend always go like you plan? Are you that committed?
I'm renting a vehicle for this.
Oh, wow. Okay, yes, I'm excited. What are you doing?
Do you remember last year when I went to the nation's largest grocery store?
Yes, and then you went and got me my favorite beer.
Yeah, they sell it there.
Yep.
I'm going back if you want to pick up more.
No, I'm still going through what you brought me.
Really? Is beer not get skanky after like a year?
No, I used what you got me. Then my friend from Kentucky brought me some more. So okay. I think I'm good.
Okay. I'm doing a day trip. Just a day trip driving to Ohio from North Carolina to buy stuff there.
That's it?
Yeah.
One whole day?
One whole day.
Are you renting a van?
Renting a large SUV.
Okay, so... Well, I think we need to talk about road trips then, because remember when I took my big road trip over a weekend August?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I want to hear all about this and if you encounter any fears along this road trip.
I don't expect there'll be any hobo clowns on the side of the road.
Well, you never know.
Or dentists.
But the fact that you were committed to drive in one day to Ohio just to go to the... What is the name of this grocery store?
Jungle Gems.
Jungle Gems. It must be impressive.
it's kind of ghetto, but it's huge and amazing.
Okay, so but do you have like your list?
No. I am getting I am pulling one together this week.
You are literally just going in to enjoy it and then saying, well, here's a few things I want, and then I'm just going to wander the aisles and get all the wonderful things I didn't even think were going to exist.
Basically, yeah.
Wow. And Kim's going with you?
Kim and two of my friends.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This is commitment. I'm excited about this. I'm going to say my weekend's not that exciting.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But, you know, maybe something will pop up.
You can go with us.
Hey, maybe I'll just keep track of you, text you, and make sure you're keeping, you know, gas, you know, all those no hobo clowns free, no snakes in the wheel hubs, all that other kind of God. Stuff handled.
God. So any other thoughts this week, Wendy? How do you feel about your first podcast?
It was interesting. I don't know that I did very good. But
I think you did very well.
I had fun. I think, you know, I think you and I could be entertaining to some folks.
Yeah, if they're boring people out there.
And if not, we can just entertain ourselves.
Well, that's how I do everything. I try. If I make myself laugh, I'm happy.
That's exactly right. I think it's pretty cool. I think I could do this again, possibly.
Well, hopefully. How about next week?
I think that sounds great, because I can't wait to hear about your weekend.
Awesome. I'm excited. Well, join us next week with how was your weekend?
Later. We'll be right back.